Hi, this is Dan Cassetta. Welcome to Flashback Friday on Changing Lives, Selling Knives. This podcast was created to share inspiring stories from people who are positively impacting the world using lessons and skills they first learned from selling Cutco knives with Vector Marketing Corporation. Episodes feature some of Cutco's most prominent alumni and top-achieving current leaders. Flashback Friday is your chance to hear a short piece of one of my favorite past episodes. We'll hand-select the best nuggets to share with you in this short form. The lessons of the Cutco Vector experience are numerous, are compelling, and are real-world concepts for business and life. Thanks for pressing play. Let's get on with today's flashback. Today, we are flashing back to episode number 178 with Ben Lee, one of the finest young leaders in the Cutco Vector Marketing sales organization. In high school, Ben was a captain on two California state champion football teams. He started selling Cutco in 2019 and was number one in sales among over 40,000 others recruited by the company that year. He advanced to the position of district manager in 2020 and became the company's number one new district manager out of over 100 dynamic competitors. He has evolved into a pillar of the Western region and has recently been appointed to serve as assistant division manager in the Los Angeles division. In this short flashback episode, Ben shares a lot of aspects of his success in life and in Vector, both as a sales rep and as a district manager. He mentions his passion and desire, and also how he strives to infuse these traits into others. He talks about loving his people, and how he and his staff build commitment on their team by communicating their sincere care for every team member. He also references his decision to go straight from rep to district manager and why he was empowered to make that leap. And of course, he mentions some of the leadership traits and strategies that enabled him to become a Silver Cup champion new district manager. Today's short episode will give you a quick look into the mindset and skill set of this exemplary young leader. Ben has the will to win and the ability to inspire others to join him in his mission. Please share this episode with all the young leaders in your network. And after listening to these short snippets, feel free to revisit our full conversation at episode number 178. CLSK is available on all podcast players or by visiting changinglivespodcast.com. Now let's get right to it with Ben Lee. Tens of thousands of people trained throughout Vector in 2019. You sold more than any of them, $84,745, starting June 8th through the end of December. So really, in just 7 months or so, what do you think set you apart as such a great sales rep?
When I hear this question, the first thing that comes to mind is something my coaches used to tell me in the locker room before a football game was, we never were the biggest team, or the fastest team, the strongest team. But the reason we always won was because we always wanted it more than the other people on the other side of the ball. And that was kind of what I believe is the reason what set me apart from a lot of other representatives was I wanted it more than a lot of other people, meaning that I had things that I needed to accomplish in my life. And I turned it into, this isn't necessarily my goal. This is what's going to happen. I just need to figure out how to do it because it's possible. Because I've seen many people, I've heard tons of names of people who've gone out and done amazing things in this company. There's no reason why I can't be one of those people. I just have to figure out how to do it. And I have to talk to who I have to talk to find that answer. So I think, one of the biggest things was I was someone who was also very genuine and passionate with my customers. My customers were part of the same mission that I was part of. And I was able to authentically share that through the help of my district manager and, the other people in my office. I think a combination of, because I told you that I wasn't going to be good at anything else except for football in the beginning, I knew the one thing that I had was working hard, right? In football, I knew I was never going to be the biggest. So therefore, I had to become the strongest. I set records in the weight room at my high school. And so in this, I knew if I just worked hard and combined everything my manager told me to do, success had to come somewhere. And that was exactly what happened.
You describe wanting it more, Ben. Now you've worked with reps and you've led people. How come everybody doesn't want to be as successful as you have?
This is something that I actually talk to my team, a lot about. And I think that you know, a lot of, I talk about my past, I know what it's like to be the best of the best, to be the number one. And there's no greater feeling to me than winning a championship and winning it with people that, that I know love and support me. And I think that when it talks about, you know, I think the reason for why I do things on this planet, I think that my, this is also just part of how I was raised. I think my father and my mother did a great job of raising me and giving me a good perception of life and the way to attack everything that, that comes my way. And if my parents had asked me this question, I would have just told them that you raised me no other way than to do exactly what I've been doing and to approach, you know, things with nothing but my absolute best. Because if you look at my, my dad's track record and my mom's track record, they sacrificed a lot for me. And I owe nothing to them but to give them everything that I am about, to be able to make my promises come true to them. So I think that that right there is something that a lot of people have, but I feel like there's just certain people that just don't understand it quite like the way that, that I do. I mean, people have their different situations and they look at things differently. I think I just have a really deep passion for wanting to make my promises come true.
So if everybody could just know what it was like to be the best, to be number one at something, to truly excel at something, they would be more motivated to continue on that path and repeat that in other areas of their life.
Exactly. Have something to fight for.
Yeah. It just gets me thinking about how can we get people to feel that before they've done it? There's a saying that the mind cannot tell the difference between a real experience and one that is visually imagined in detail. And if people can learn to envision what they want and get that feeling, it, it creates a little piece of that motivation. I don't know if you have any other things that you try to do with your reps that you try to get people to do to sort of capture that feeling and know what it's going to be like. But, you know, what comes to your mind?
What comes to my mind there is, you know, first things first, I think that a lot of people have different things that mean a lot to them. I think there are things in life and goals and accomplishments that mean just as good as maybe another accomplishment to somebody else, right? And I think everyone has their different level of how they feel about certain accomplishments. And I think that one of the things that I do a lot with my representatives is I try to find that. I try to find like, hey, what means a lot to this person? What is their true sense of purpose and passion for the things that they do? And it doesn't matter how big or small that is. I think helping them get after that and show them that it's possible. And also pouring my heart out to them. I think that all my representatives feel how much I really care about them, how much I'm here for them, how much I love on them. And I think they understand that I want this, I want their success just as bad as they want their own. And I think that's something that is very powerful, something that can go a long way, even if I'm not good at, you know, things like PCs, interviews, training, right? But if, as long as I'm pouring my heart out and I'm helping them get on track and have clarity with what it is that they want to do, no matter how big or small it may be, and being a part of that journey with support and love, I think the opportunities are endless for anybody.
You went straight from rep to district manager. What made you decide to take that quick route up the vector ladder?
What got me thinking about it was you gave a talk about aligning what you do with your core and your inner values and what means a lot to you. And after this talk, I went home after a conference and I remember sitting down and genuinely thinking to myself, you know, what do I love to do? When you mentioned lining up what you do with your core values, I couldn't help but just think that I've always been that person that loves to help bring smiles to other people's faces. Right. And I also think back to the way that I was raised and the way that I was brought up. And I've always seemed to be that guy who loves to reach out a helping hand. If someone's crying, like even if I know them or not, I'm going to go up to them and see what's going on. And I've always just been someone who wants to offer more of what I have, what I've been fortunate to have been given to me, give that back to other people who maybe aren't as fortunate. And I think that's what I'm all about. I had a night where I was in my apartment and I remember just sitting there thinking to myself, like, what if this is your time? What if this is going on for you? I'm surrounded by a bunch of amazing people who are champions in life. I have a company who's done nothing but grow since 1981. Why would that change now? I could not be in a better spot. So I'm just going to believe in the people around me. I'm going to believe in my company. And most importantly, I'm going to believe in myself. I believe that I've been given gifts. I believe that I've been put on this planet for a certain reason. And I believe that I'm supposed to bring a lot of happiness to a lot of people. And I believe that I've been given something that not a lot of people have. But there's a reason why I've been given that. And I think that I've found my place here in this world to be able to give that out to as many people as possible.
So you ended up as the number one new DM in the company. And again, you know, this is something that a large number of very highly talented people took on all across the company. You were competing against some really incredible individuals, and you won. Number one, what do you feel like some of your success factors as a leader?
Yeah, so I've thought a lot about this, and that's actually, you know, one of the things that Brandon Brown, I had a talk with Brandon Brown actually the night after I got the news winning, and I actually got to speak with him. And, you know, one of the things he told me was, you know, are you reflecting on everything that you've learned from 2020? And I was like, well, I'm starting to think of some things, but I haven't really done it all. He goes, make a list. And so I took one night where I really just kind of thought about all the different things that I was able to learn from this year. And, you know, one of the biggest things that stood out to me, what really got it going, I'm pretty sure when I think back on it, Austin Overbilling gave a talk at, what was that management conference? SMC, is that what it is? SMC?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. He mentioned, he said this line that I can still hear it. Him saying it in my head was, if your people know you have their back, they'll go to war for you. I wasn't too sure how good I was at training or the interview or, you know, at PCs or anything like that. But I knew that from the combination of from football and from selling, that I knew how to send the message to people that I cared about them and how much I genuinely appreciated who they were. And so one of the biggest success factors, I think, as me as manager so far is, you know, whether I have a, you know, okay, training, interview, all that, I knew for sure that I knew how to let my people know that I had their back, right? We were in a pandemic. There were lots of things going on, right? Especially here in Southern California and LA, right? There was riots going on, and it was not a good time. But my people knew and understood that I had their back, and they knew I loved them, and they knew that I wanted their success just as much as they wanted their own. So I think that's one of the biggest things that went into, you know, this year of just loving on my people, no matter what was going on. So that was definitely one of the biggest success factors as a leader. You know, my work ethic, and I think being a leader in general, leading by action, right? I've never worked harder for something in my entire life than I did this last year, right? Working 12 to 15 hour work days is not something that was easy at first, but at the same time, I started to notice that it inspired my people. They started to notice how late I worked, how if they called me at, you know, 11, 12 at night that I was going to pick up, right? And they were inspired by that, and I could see it. And so, and a lot of this also happened at team meetings, right? I think that was a really big point in time where I always had my whole team together, and I was always able to give them love and support, and especially with everything that was going on. But I think this started to build this family-like culture. We really made a game plan on how we're going to pour ourselves into our people and let them know how bad we want this. And I think not only did everyone come together as like kind of like that family type culture, I think they all were bought into the same common goal. So I think we were all helping each other out to achieve one high goal as a team, but in turns help each other out with everything that we're all going after individually. People will do amazing things if they know they're supported and loved. And I think that's just because that's what happened with me. So I think that was kind of the theme of this summer was, and even this year was, how much can you really give your people? Let's see how you do.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's flashback episode of Changing Lives Selling Knives, you can find the full episode and show notes at changinglivespodcast.com. You can also sign up there to receive free resources from me and some of our amazing guests. Please consider rating or reviewing us on your podcast player and hit the subscribe button so future episodes are automatically downloaded directly to your device. This is Dan Cassetta signing off. We'll be back in a few days for our next story about changing lives.